AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Sven Sundgaard is the weatherman extraordinaire. You can find his weather forecast at bringingthenews.com, at YouTube, as well as also forecast is sold at forecastissold.com. And of course, you've got
slash weather,
and you also have a lot of options here for expanded if people want more weather and more in depth
all the time.
Yeah, you're going to have some Patreon levels coming up here, right?
Yeah, I'm launching all that next week with my winter forecast. So everybody asks, "Oh, what's winter going to be like?" Well, I'm going to go dive into the science. You know, I'm not going to do like Farmer's Almanac and be stupid and say on January 10th it'll be this followed by cold, you know. But a real science-based, you know, it's winter forecasts are educational guesses anyway, but you know, we talk about what are all the different things, atmospheric phenomena that can influence our winter pattern. A lot of people probably heard that we're in a La Nina year again. What does that mean? Does it mean anything? What else is going on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So, yeah, I think the winter forecast is a good launch pad that. So follow me on social media. You know, go to forecast is – now you've got me screwed up. Forecastissold.com/weather, and I'll have all the updates there on how you can – get a hold of that.
So I'll make sure I link to everything a little bit later on as well. And by the way, when you do start that up, let me know. I'm going to be the first person to sign up. When you launch it, I want to be the first one to sign up for it.
Are you following anybody on Patreon? Are you a patron on there at all?
Well, Cliff Schechter. He does Unprecedented, the podcast over there. And so, yeah, okay. I'm already on Patreon.
All right. Yeah. No, see, it's all kind of new to me. Like, people started telling me, like, you know, a year ago, oh, you should do this. And I'm like, what the heck is that? I don't even know what. So, yeah, I've had it, like, kind of all set up and just been waiting to hit the launch button. I don't really know what will happen. I don't want to have, like, seven, you know, subscribers because then it's not really worth it.
It does work. And like I said, I want to be the first to sign up. It's touch and go. Some Patreon, that works. I got suckered into doing OnlyFans once, and that really, no, did not go the way I thought.
I want to set up something that's called, you know, Weather Fans. It's all G-rated weather stuff.
Let's talk about, first of all, I want to give you credit because you said it. Last week, the leaves were not down. There's actually even a story in the Star Trib that talked about how the last week for a lot of cities for leaf pickup is this upcoming week. And yet the leaves haven't come down, but you said it was waiting for that cold temperatures to come on in. And quite literally, I saw trees just dropping like crazy the minute the storm system started moving in and we started seeing the cooler temps.
Yeah, well, of course, we have the wind, the rain, you know, any of the moisture, anything that makes the leaves heavier, then you add the wind to it. But yeah, once we see finally some like real cold this weekend, they're really going to be dropping. But yeah, if your last pickup day was today, that doesn't really help you a whole lot. And I think most of me, I was just getting my haircut last night, and Kelly, who I've gone to for 14 years, was saying that she's somewhere in South Minneapolis, and their pickup day was today. And she's like, all my leaves still are pretty much fully, or all my trees are still fully loaded with leaves. So thanks. That's not real helpful. And I think that what you're referring to too, I think that article went into the sort of controversy that no cities are adjusting their dates, which makes kind of no sense. Because what, you know, I don't want to get a bunch of city workers after me, but I don't know what else do you do between now and when you're plowing snow anyway. And it's just one of those things that we might have to have some adjustments for climate change. You know, this is an easy one, but like changing our storm sewer system and all these other things are bigger conversations, but you know, leaf pickup and yard waste and all that stuff might have to be things that we talk about more.
Well, and I think your point is spot on, is that, you know, it seems like the climate change is now actually having a direct impact to us on this. I can understand to a point. You look at the calendar, what's the week after it? Thanksgiving. I mean, a lot of places are next week. Yeah. The week after that is Thanksgiving. You don't necessarily want to have people doing that, but that's fine. Skip that week and then just have your last week be the week after that. And you don't have that problem. You don't have to have workers working on the Friday after Thanksgiving. You can just do it that way. But I think this is not going to be a one-time thing. I think this is our new normal, and I think you're going to see leaves falling later and later.
Yeah, and I don't know what the solution is. I know that, you know, there's everything structured and scheduled the way it is for a certain reason. Obviously, a big city, you have to do it each area at a different time, and And then you don't want to be stuck in the position where, you know, it is not entirely impossible to go from like what we've had, this very mild fall, and then this isn't going to happen, but it's not impossible to have a blizzard, you know, on Sunday or something, and then everything's stuck underneath anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worse than picking up leaves, and I know everybody's done this, in the spring instead of the fall. It's all moldy and gross and... Yeah.
Well, the worst is then you have to shovel your driveway. And so that first shoveling of your driveway, it's all leaves, and it's not a pleasant experience.
Nope. I agree.
You brought up yesterday on your weather forecast, which we did post up and you can find over on YouTube, the Edmund Fitzgerald. And I saw an interesting question about this. How uncommon are the gales of November coming early? Because as this storm comes through, and this is pretty much on the – yesterday was the date the Edmund Fitzgerald unfortunately sank. It seems as if these early November storms are not that uncommon.
No, they're actually much more common than we think. But they get this sort of notoriety with a tragic event like that, obviously. But, yeah, anytime you have a low-pressure system following – a similar path where, you know, like this system, the low developed in the southern plains and kind of rode straight up, almost straight north, northeast. The low right now is sitting on top of basically Isle Royale and Thunder Bay, that area. And so now we're on the cold side because everything rotates counterclockwise around low pressure areas. And then you get, of course, an easterly sucking wind from east to west across the entire scope of Lake Superior. And so, you know, they were forecasting 19-foot waves on Lake Superior today with up to 60, 65-mile-an-hour wind gusts. That's a tropical storm.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously not tropical. But, yeah, these happen. You know, any of our snowstorms or rainstorms are these big – we call these mid-latitude cyclones. It's just a fancy word for our, you know, typical low-pressure storm systems that we get fall, winter, spring. We don't really get them in the summer because there isn't the big temperature difference in the dynamics. You know, summer is more driven by – thunderstorms, but these are, you know, pretty typical. This started, if you followed on Monday, I showed the storm was in the Pacific. They move over the Rockies. They get kind of tore up and stretched because of the elevation, you can imagine, if you're being pushed up a mountain. But then when they come on the east side of the Rockies again, it's all of a sudden you have this expanse of volume, and literally they spin back up again, tighten back up. You think of the figure skater, you know, putting their arms out and then pulling them in. Conservation of angular momentum, you spin faster. It's the exact same thing that happens with these storm systems. So, again, the fancy word, if you want to wow your friends, lee side cyclogenesis.
Wow.
Just a fancy word for saying low pressure reforming on the lee side of the Rockies.
And in the case of the Edmund Fitzgerald, my cousin is a pilot on the big boats up there. And as a matter of fact, I think he's second command. He's worked his way up to second command, but he had to actually go and captained some boats and worked with some boats out on in the oceans and go work out there as a way to kind of continue his training with the, I believe it's the Merchant Marines. And he said that the difference in the boats on that sail the lakes, those are not really ocean vessels. And so when you describe what those, that, you know, what's going on Lake Superior right now, you know, it's these boats are they can handle it, but they can't handle it for too long. And that was the poor problem with the Edmund Fitzgerald, is that it kept going. And just I love the animation you put on that video where it showed it just kind of tracked the Edmund Fitzgerald, and it never let up on it.
Yeah. I doing a little Google search yesterday. There was a really great explainer graphic. Maybe I'll have to repost it. I don't know how else to get it to people, but it showed all the different ways that big waves on a lake like Lake Superior can, you know, be problematic for these freighters. Either way, because like you say, they are not meant for oceans where that kind of thing is going to happen more. So, you know, we like to think, of course, that can't happen again now. The Edmund Fitzgerald, better technology. They just, you know, didn't have the same forecasting ability then, though. I mean, I think they would have had to have known storm coming, but I wasn't even alive in 1975. So there's a lot of things. I think we learned a lot, certainly. Probably we're less willing to take the risks that we were then too, because, you know, when something like that happened, you know, in recent memory at that time.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, it used to happen a lot more with the wooden ships and the smaller ships. The
steam
ships.
That kind of thing. Yeah, but you kind of think of those things as like these impenetrable monsters when really they're not.
Exactly. Well, and I think it's the one thing I've always learned, and I think you'll agree with this, nature always wins. Nature, you can try to outplay it. You can try to outsmart it. Nature will always find a way to break it over, yep. Break you over its knee, and it does.
Always humbles us.
It does. And well, what's going on right now? I mean, let's look at this storm system. On the backside of it, we got a blizzard over in the Dakotas right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It is snowing to beat the band there. And we're going to miss really the accumulating snow out of this particular system, though we are going to see the snow showers tonight and tomorrow. And I do think still that at times tomorrow, even in the metro, you could see a brief white coating on some of those grassy surfaces with some of those heavier snow showers, but it'll melt as quickly as it pretty much kind of sticks. But yeah, you know, it's time. I don't think anybody can really, you can complain about it, but it's November 11th. Mm-hmm. It's overdue. I showed a graphic in my weather on Monday. November 6th is the average date of the first measurable snowfall. So, you know, this is even 5, 6, 7 days late. So we can't really, and we've had a very mild fall. Mm-hmm. So no complaining allowed.
When it does, I mean, because as you said, I mean, first of all, the metro area as well, it is kind of a warmer, it holds heat in the Twin Cities metro area. The ground is not frozen yet, so it's going to melt from there. But the winds are still going to be there. And you brought this up, I think it was last week as well, that the wind does more to evaporate the snow than anything else. Are the winds going to stay with us for the next few days as well?
Yeah, you know, I'm at my computer right now. I'm going to pull up some wind measurements for us. So when we're closest to the low pressure, that's when you're going to see the strongest winds. And now low pressure is moving to the north, winds will improve. But now we're on the backside of it where that cold air will come in. So tomorrow's going to be pretty windy, as well, but out of the northwest instead of today. Much of today it was out of the southeast. So we're going to be dealing with the wind probably until Saturday, it looks like. So that's the other thing with the system that I talked about yesterday, is because this became a cutoff low, which basically skirts the jet stream, we're dealing with it for really 3.5 days instead of a day like you might normally.
The snow in Minnesota you'd mentioned on this storm particularly, we'll get to Saturday here in a second, but on this storm system particularly, oh God, I don't like the way that you're cackling like a villain. with this storm system, parts of northern Minnesota are going to get a bit of snow up there, correct?
Oh, they already have. You know, I had a lot of people sending in pictures of the snow that has fallen. By the way, I was just looking at, while we were talking to some of the buoys up on Lake Superior, they brought in a lot of them already at this point in the year. They do that pretty early. But some of them are still out. There's 10-foot waves in the middle of the lake right now. And so that would be subsiding from what it would have been. The peak would have been around lunchtime. So they maybe did verify those 15 to 19-foot waves, by the way. And, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in a boat in the middle of Lake Superior for anything. Oh. But yeah, northern Minnesota, I'm pulling up some snow totals right now so far. What do we got here? Salina must be up on the Iron Range, 2 inches. Yeah, so far seeing reports of about 2 inches of snow, but some of these reports are from this morning. So I'm not seeing – the Duluth Weather Service office, just between you and me, is not very good at getting stuff out. But so we're kind of relying on when they put data out. You know, to their credit, it is a fairly rural region that they're dealing with too, where, you know, sometimes, you know, look how long it took for them to verify the tornado that went through just north of Grand Marais. I mean, it took like a month. A month later, they're like, yep, it was a tornado. I mean, we take for granted how here in southern Minnesota, we have, you know, more densely, even in our rural communities, they're more densely populated. And our weather service is pretty good about getting somebody out there within a couple days, verifying if it was a tornado or straight line wind damage. But it's a lot harder to send somebody up, you know, into the boundary waters.
Well, and here's what I'll give a little bit of, well, and I don't know if I can give a little bit of a cut to the Duluth guys. Because they're one of the few places, I think, really on the planet where they are really in their own, you know, climate area. It's, you know, you go past Cloquet, all of a sudden it becomes its own area. And so it's kind of, you know, the complexities of the North Shore alone must be enough for them. They don't, it's like, oh, you want us to go look inland? Oh, okay, fine, whatever. I can imagine that they cover pretty much the whole Arrowhead region? Is it all northern Minnesota?
Yeah, no, they cover basically, so the boundary, Bemidji is officially within the Grand Forks office, but basically just east of Bemidji all the way to Ironwood, Michigan. So that's their west east component. Yeah, and then from Pine City up to the Canadian border. So they do cover a, and most of the offices do cover that. There used to be more offices that covered smaller areas, but you know, since we're on a political show, you know, Ronald Reagan cut the Weather Service in the '80s. We said, well, we don't need any of that. So yeah, we do have much fewer Weather Service offices and eyes basically on our weather, thanks to the '80s.
Thank you, Reagan Republicans. We really do appreciate
another
that.
Another one. I roll my eyes every time I hear somebody say he's a great president.
So going back to the weather, because I mean, I know, trust me, you and I could do an entire show on that one. Going back to this weather system here, so it's going to be mostly snow showers on this current system. Where in the world did this Saturday thing come from?
Yeah, it's kind of an Alberta clipper, really. And some of these systems can kind of sneak by until, you know, in fairness, it did show up a couple of days ago, which is still, 5 days out, 4 or 5 days out. But, you know, the problem in Canada is we just don't have as dense of data. You know, the resolution of our data isn't as good because there are fewer. All of our surface observing stations are basically where there are population centers. You know, mostly every little airport you put in, you usually put in an automated sensor. All that information goes into our computer models. Satellites have come a long way at helping us fill in those gaps, but it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, this is why sometimes still, which kind of makes forecasting interesting, we can see an Arctic outbreak, surprise, you know, 3 days out. Why is it, you know, suddenly 10 below Saturday morning instead of 5? Because of the similar thing. A little chunk of cold air can sneak between the stations and slide across Canada until it gets into, you know, central or southern Manitoba, Saskatchewan. It doesn't get picked up. Okay. So, you know, it's a situation like that where in these little clipper systems. So this is basically an Alberta clipper, but because it's earlier in the season, it has a little more potency and moisture available to it than a clipper that, say, comes in January or February.
How much snow are we? I mean, it does sound like it's not going to be a lot, but I mean, it definitely seems like of the two different storms, that one seems to be the one that's more snow potential there.
For us, yeah. No, so this system is a bigger snow producer for northern and western Minnesota. You know, basically from Fargo to International Falls, parts of the Iron Range are going to end up with 4 to 8 inches of snow out of this. And again, like I said, we might get a slushy coating here and in St. Cloud tonight and tomorrow in, you know, patchy. But the Sunday snow is much more impressive for us in the Twin Cities. That's the one that's probably going to add up to, I think we could get up to 2 inches of snow. So don't be shocked Sunday. And part of this is the timing. This time of year, if you can get the snow to fall during the night, obviously when temperatures are colder, because even when it's cloudy like today, there is sunlight getting through the clouds. Mm-hmm. You notice this in the winter. As soon as daylight approaches, any paved surface suddenly starts melting. Well, it's not just because of salt. It's, you know, there is, if you can see, there's sunlight getting through. It may not be a lot, but it could be enough to melt snow. So nighttime, and if you get heavier bursts of snow in a short period of time, that's your best chance of accumulating snow. And that's just the right scenario that we're going to have Saturday night. So I think it is going to be white across the metro for the first time really Sunday morning. But yeah, we're talking 1 to 2 inches.
But it won't stick around for too long, though. I mean, it's an early snowstorm.
Yeah, no, in fact, we get a brief little warm-up next week. It could be close to 50 by Tuesday. So, yeah, whatever we get is short-lived.
All right.
It's just that first snowfall of the season that'll coat the grass that should have come really anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks ago.
Stay up to date on this storm, these two storms that are coming through. Forecastissold.com/weather. Forecastissold.com/weather. Bring me the news, YouTube as well. And then, of course, the second he launches the Patreon, I'll make sure everyone knows about that so you can sign up and get all the weather information that you do need from Sven Sundgaard. Sven, thank you very much. As always, I appreciate the information.
You bet. I'll be updating the website in a couple of hours with the details on the snow to come. And then, of course, the video forecast tomorrow.
And pay attention. Go to forecastissold.com/weather because they're going to have, obviously, more totals on that Saturday storm when that comes on through. So make sure you're following. I'll put the links up for all that stuff a little bit later on. Sven Sundgaard, we'll take a break, wrap the show. When we do come back, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.